Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much for coming to the Global Vision for Living Today portal for you and your family. This morning, we're going to be talking about America's Next Course. With you or without you, so you better get on board of anything that looks like, feels like, and acts like. It's here to show you the way, a better way of living. Destructive behaviors, crazy attitudes, all manners of vengeance, hidden abuse, killer mentalities has everyone on the verge of, oh my God, running around hither, thither with no direction. What can we do? For one thing, we can answer the call to love ye one another. And number two, make it a business to look out for one another. Law enforcement states that over 70% of all lawlessness relates back to money or lack of love displayed in the home during one's early childhood upbringing. So our goals really from this day forward should be to live our lives for the sake of others while giving the Creator the praise and glory that he deserves. But, you know, hey, it's easier said than done. How do we do that? Aren't you sick and tired and sick of people telling you what you ought to do, but they can't lead out and show how? That's ugly. That's sad. No wonder the world is in problems right now. Right now as I speak. Right now. So much is going on that we can't see. But right now, America's Next Course. Wow, people say America's in trouble. We're going to hear from Reverend Colonel Dr. William Harrison. All those titles, I get them mixed up most of the time. But we're going to hear from him this morning. He's been a guest for over a year and a half, giving his wisdom and, of course, giving tips and ideas on how we can live our best life. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cavatina and listening audience. I am with you. Thank you for the invitation again. Pray all is well with you and the listening audience.
Well, you're a natural around here. You're someone that we expect to be on the show because, you know, also this morning we are going to talk about our ambassador membership program and why it's come into existence. And just some other things that are good. But America, the world, the universe, someone said throw the universe in there too, is in trouble. So much is going on, and it doesn't appear that we are really Earth's main keepers. I think we were built and we were created and we were stationed from on high to live a good life and to be fruitful on it and multiply, but something happened. We've lost our way. You look out your window, and that's not the case. And someone told me last night, no, look inside your own house. And that's not the case. It's just a chaos, misunderstandings, all kinds of things going on. What has happened, let's say, in the last, I'm going to say 30 years. We could go back 6,000. But in the last 30 years, what has happened to reshape America and its values?
Was that a question to me, Doc?
Oh, yes, it is, Caroline.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What has happened in the past 30 years to reshape America's value, Dr. Compton, the listening audience, is that the family values have changed. The traditional family that was in existence 30 years ago is no longer in existence today. The family of old 30 years ago believed more in family values. There was, for the most part, a mother and father in the family, a husband and wife. Most families had children. And they taught the children certain values and principles of right and wrong. So as the family, as we have moved more toward a technological age, a technological generation, and as the the family has become fragmented due to divorces, separations, and the like. And the children have somewhat been a victim of this because there's not two parents for the most part in most homes in America, because the divorce rate is 50%. There's usually just one parent, and it's usually a female that's head of the household. So the children don't have the benefit of not only seeing and interacting with their father, but receiving instructions from their father in regards to basic life principles that would help to make their lives successful and better. And I'll pause.
Well, we see that some of those good things that were going on 30 years ago, surely they have evaporated. But something has caused that. Something has caused us. I'll just throw you and I too in this hole. Something has caused that to happen. What do you think has been the premises for such a change? I've talked to people and they said, well, you know, we've come through the wars and a lot of men got killed off. You have women that needed to get back into the workforce and they never got back out. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't think of it like that. They said, yeah, they never got back out of it. The home was left sparsely occupied. Grandma laying around sick, had four or five kids left behind for her to try to get up early in the morning and watch them while the lady went off to work. I mean, things have actually changed. But in this so-called post-industrial world, they're not going to get back to that status. Women now are in every sector, every field, and you talk to them about staying home all day with some children, they're not going down for that. And whether it's a man in there or not, you know, and with things being what they are, self-made, man-made, of course, you know, it's, they say, oh, it takes two or three kids per family to really help stabilize and make a real family, but I don't want two or three kids. And, of course, they choose to stay out there in the workforce. How do you think that post-industrial world has aided the nuclear family? I mean, for the good or for the bad? What do you think about that?
With respect to family union, unity, the transition from the industrial world to the nuclear, industrial family to nuclear family has had a negative effect upon families. Because the primary responsibility of raising the child is the mother's, because the mother birthed the child, the mother nurtured the child, the mother trained the child, and the mother keeps that love and that bond going with the child. So the attachment is with the mother from the biblical cord right on up until the mother transition or the child transition. So with the father has always been the role of being a provider for his family and his wife and his children. 30 years ago, most women were still, for the most part, at home taking care of their children. That the fathers or the husbands, if they had to take care of their family, worked more than one job. They would work their primary job for 8 hours during the day and then work a secondary job for an additional 4 hours or whatever to get enough income to take care of his family so the life focus could be on the family, on the household. And as old school used to say, the father or the husband was the breadwinner. Now we don't have that. It's great that we have women rights and believe in equal rights and a fair wage for fair days work and all of that, and there's professional women. But in the pursuit of women pursuing their professions, if they have children, then something is or someone will be neglected. And in the most cases, if the child or children, because then the children have to be relegated to a daycare center while the mother's working during the day. I'm not saying women should not work. Don't misunderstand. Absolutely. There are women that qualify, should work, so forth, so on. But careful provisions have to be made for those women that are in the workplace that have children to make sure their child get the proper care if it's going to be relinquished to a daycare provider.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear that. I think some might beg a difference with you Yes, you know, we might say, yeah, I believe women should work, they can work and all of that. I think for all intents and purposes where this conversation is going, we're showing the negatives and the positives of women out there in the workforce. And really, this whole show topic, you know, we've sort of gotten off, but the trials and the tribulations that have come about because of that, men are still out there being pressured and under stress. And, you know, I think when their creator said, you know, I'm going to create man and woman, he said he was going to create a woman to be a helpmeet. And, you know, if you go do your Greek and your historical studies, it has nothing to do with working outside of a home. Wow, boy, somebody's going to call me on that. So I'm thinking right now, the America as we know it that's gotten off course, they'll never get back on course. It's moving forward with or without us and our thoughts and how we feel about certain matters, because we got to establish this, and I don't know how best to do it. I'm thinking of a radio show that I was on, KGLH. It's very popular on the West Coast, and when we got to that topic, I talked for half an hour, and they asked Dr. Cupertino, what is the last resort for us? For women as a whole, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, go back home. That's all I said, three words. And they had to almost pull me out of that that showroom down, back down some stairs and out the alley, because all the lines lit up on that phone dashboard that she said, oh, my God, look at this, look at this. People wanted to really challenge that. But the a point of the matter is, and I said, well, if he created him with a penis and testicles, and he created you with that vagina and a womb, oh, I just got all the way down into it, then look at the differences of men and women and what they were created for. You don't have to call me on the phone. Just look at that. You don't have to open a Bible up. Just look at that. What are the differences? So the differences in the creative process for humanity shows what they were best fit for. And if women choose to go out and work, and again, you know, I know you said I'm not touching that. That yeah, they should work, they can work. We're right back to the same foxhole that we're peeping out of. Who's manning the home? And because some of us feel that the home, I guess, can take care of itself. The children can take care of itself. You know, I got them. I'll find me a daycare. I got him. I'll put him in a before and after school program, take him at 6, pick him up at 6. The creator didn't say that. He said to them, the parent, train it up, meaning you're responsible for that. You're not going to do it on a job. And I'm not a Greekologist that I can say, oh, well, the Bible was written in Greek, you know, the New Testament, Hebrew, old, so this is what he meant. That's not what this show is about. This show is about what happened to America. It's really moving forward with or without us. But is it moving in the direction intended? And if it's not moving in the direction intended, will it ever get back on course? Colonel Harrison, your minister, and I know you probably have women and men that are raising families and, you know, they have jobs to go to. Can we look into their lives for about 5 seconds and show any success? They might have some money, new cars sitting out in front of a two-story home or whatever they got. Is that a picture of success? Is it a picture of America getting back on its feet? My daddy used to say, ooh, ooh, when you find yourself in trouble, go back and get on where you got off. And I have that pasted in my bathroom. That saying, because you know, whatever you're facing with today, it's not a phone call away issue. What it is to actually make sure that you know exactly where you're headed. If you find yourself in dire straits, go back and get on where you got off. So we're talking about America's next course. With the family structure tore down, I think if I'm listening to my daddy, okay, well, what happened? You mentioned women have made the decision to come out of the home and go into the workforce in this industrial manner, and I I know some callers would say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. As long as we leave the home unoccupied and these youth and teenagers running amok in the streets, can America really say we're going forward on a new course of success? I don't care how many stimulus checks are put out there. I don't care how many businesses are flush with cash. I know there's one that has given 20 or more million back government money just to, you know, help their companies maintain their doors open. It's not about that. So America's next course is we talk about that. Where do we find ourselves even coming out of what we say is this virus control environment? What do we tell America? What do we tell people that are making recognition they were dead?
There, scientists and the doctors are saying, in this evolution of a pestilence called the COVID-19 or coronavirus, we got to redefine a new normal. The old normal, which was 130 years ago, the traditional family, unfortunately, has been disrupted, has been fragmented because of what we're saying now, what we're discussing now. There has to be a new normal where the family has to be redefined. The family has to be put first, and the husband and the wife, where there are children, where there aren't children, it has to be rekindled. It has to be resurrected, because the essence of a society is based upon the foundation of the family. And if there's no family and there's no family structure, then eventually the society becomes disrupted and discombobulated, and chaos sets in, and confusion and uncertainty, such as we're experiencing now. So we really and truly, Dr. Capitino, listener audience, want to make America great again. Let's redefine the family. Let's identify with the family values and rebuild the family in America without regards to whatever walk of life or nationality or creed. Let's redefine family, rebuild family, then we can make America great again.
Okay, that sounds great, but, you know, I have some new news, and it might be old news to some of our listeners. Over the last, five years, I might be wrong in that, because someone pulled me to the table in a restaurant and said, no, doctor, that's true. There's been over 20 million abortions performed on black women alone. And, you know, we're going around here as African-Americans and talking about Black Lives Matter and this. Well, then where are the black lives ending up? In trash cans and back hotel bins? Women, our black women, are having more abortions than any other race on the face of this planet. And when they go around saying Black Lives Matter, and that is a record that's out there for all to see, something is a lie. Something is not. Why are they doing that? What is the reason why a race just about is being destroyed? And, you know, some people are saying, you know, ain't no black race. You turn on the TV and they have, you know, half white, half Latino child, you know, there you see the black man standing there as the dad, I guess, and then you see the white woman or the Hispanic woman standing there, and they're grinning, and the child is, you know, playing or eating there. You don't see any dark brown, really dark skinned African American children in these commercials. Everything I see, and I have to think about it. I said, you know what, I'm going to watch that TV one time for a whole week, and I'm going to, you know, see if this is true. And surely it was. And you have more of our black men that are making millions marrying white women, Dutch women, Latino women, and I won't name one that got killed this January. Look at that family. Look at all of what they are doing. When as long as you're hungry, eating ham hock and beans, with the black woman, you're all right. But as soon as you get money, you don't want her no more. You know, this is what I'm told. This is not my opinion. You don't want her no more. You don't want her around. You don't want to be seen with her. She's ignorant. She doesn't look good enough. We need to address that if we talk about the family structure in America. You are just not going to be a black race in another 15 years at the rate they are going, because these rich folks, these rich black men, they're not populating with the average black woman. We have a caller at 616-505-8791. Would you like to speak, madam, sir? This is your time.
Yeah, I just was listening to what you were saying. Black lives do matter, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Hello? I was just listening, you know, what you were saying, black lives do matter. And then the gentleman was talking about the COVID-19. So I just caught the end part of it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for jumping on the line. Thank you. There's a lot going on, but this whole thing called America with African Americans, Hispanic, Mexican, Jew, whoever, we've been told, oh, we got to band together, we got to work together, we got to eat together, we got to live together. But now we have a challenge. We don't think America's going to be able to get back on its footing. And as Reverend Colonel Harrison just mentioned, there's got to be some kind of a revolution, you know, like Che Guevara, you know, all these activists that really turned America upside down over the last 100 years. There's really the only way I think America is going to be able to survive. It's got to be a revolution. There's got to be less talk and less meeting of the minds of people that have made the decision. You know what? I'm tired of sitting down. I'm tired of grandma being talked to like a dog by whomsoever law enforcement when they come over to the door and there's a missing child. I'm tired of grandpa talking about how good the days were in times gone by. What about now? What about now? What about now? What do you think might be, Colonel Harrison, a way to become more constructive in America with those that really want to see America stand in its former and its current glory? Some say America ain't nothing. You know, it ain't about nothing. You know, they got dope, they got drugs, everybody in jail, everybody this and that. But as long as you wake up and the sun is shining, there's a chance. What are some steps we need to put America's foot to? What are some steps?
Number one, redefine moral values. Moral values mean godly values. This country was built upon Judeo-Christian values and principles. When morality fails, sin runs rampant. People lose their way. Chaos sets in, and all the other uncertainties that go with a society that's not well structured. So we need to redefine the moral values, the godly values. Rebuild around those principles, return to Main Street America. Main Street America was built upon those principles. That will redefine family. That will redefine our direction, husband, wife, so forth and so on, because initially it was set up, those that believe in the principles of the Bible, the Quran, the Septuagint, and other reference Bibles and books that talks about morality, know that it was initially set up for a man and a woman in society to have children, to multiply, and then increase upon the land, teach their children certain principles, so forth and so on. Call me old school, if you will. I've been blessed to do very well in society. At this age, we got to go back to those things. The lying, the cheating, the misdirection, the misrepresentation, the abortions, the abomination, the crime, the adultery, all those things are all spins and offshoot of the family not being wholesome, the family not being whole, the family not having no moral values, family not having no direction. And as a result, all this chaos has come upon the land and some of those things that I just mentioned to you. So, number one, we've got to redefine the moral principles based on godly values.
So it sounds like, according to your words, that us, me, you, we've got to get on where we got off. If the Creator, and you just mentioned it, started off with a two human pair in a garden, and then they multiplied, become many, and all of that, it goes right back to the Father. But now here's the big problem that I think not only America is facing, but worldwide we see disrespect for the man. I hear women talking. I haven't been at the nail shop lately, of course, but beauty shops, parlors, wherever. It seems to be male bashing has increased. You know, I ain't going to do what the N-word say. I do what I want to. I stay out late. If I want to work, fine. If I don't, fine. I mean, there's been a lot of disrespect, especially in African-American households, not really wanting to put the man in his proper place. I don't have to listen to him. In fact, I don't have to look at him if I don't want to. My mama tells me what to do. I listen to my daddy. But the man, do you think that we need a resurgence of people honoring and respecting men and wives respecting husbands? I don't think it's going to work until the man is put back in his proper place. Do you have anything to say on that? 646 area code. It isn't going to work till men can face themselves as who they are.
Certainly the man has to be respected.
Our men need to step up to the plate and take first place. They were created first, and remember this this particular radio show is based on biblical principles, things that we say, you know, we know what's going on in the world, you know, we know what the latest is, yada-da. Whether churches are closing down or not, we still want to, as I said, give God some praise and glory, the Creator. We believe that. So do you think we need to see our men take the lead again and get in where they fit in as leaders, not only in their home, but in the world? Do you think that's part of the problem, that America's gotten off course and now we got to figure out how to get back on? Do we? There's got to be a leader in every household, every company, in every business, in every liquor store. There's got to be one person to take charge. Do we get our men to stand up for family? What is your opinion on that? Colonel Harrison, you want to answer that?
Yes, Doc. Yes, the man has to be respected, because when the man is respected by his wife or significant other, should they have children, then the children will also respect their father. The respect has to begin for the man to feel the essence of who he is and what his duties and responsibilities are to family. The woman has to edify the man. The man has to edify God. We've gotten away from that. Man has lost his way, lost direction, whether you call a step up to the plate, whatever, because he's disconnected with the source that empowers him, source that empowers man, is God. So man edifies God. God blesses his family. The wife edifies the man, and the man also, then he takes care of his wife and his children, and the family structure becomes wholesome. Without having the component that begins and created the foundation, man, woman, and God, in what the unions call a marriage, then everything else breaks down from there. If the man's not in place, the man's not respected, the woman's not respecting the man, that marriage, that relationship, whether they married or not, will never be successful. It will never succeed, because the principles that really anchor them, that cause them to be successful, is missing. So we can't exclude that or exclude him, which is at the heart of relationships. The heart of relationships is spiritual. It's not sexual. It's not sensual. It's spiritual. And I'll pause.
Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. Thank you so much. You've been listening to the Global Vision for Living Today, www.ip4peace.org. Let me mention that again, www.ip4peace.org. Take a look around and get some ideas on how to do it. We want to thank you for joining in, and you'll learn more next week about the ambassadors, our spiritual ambassadors program, and also how we can contact the world at large on a greater scale. Have a great weekend. Thank you again. We'll listen out for you next Saturday. Thank you for tuning in.